And now the Great American Folk Show, a little place where we commune with you to share stories, to sing some songs, and talk to some good people with great voices. Singer-songwriter Mason Jennings has shared the stage and the studio with Pearl Jam's Stone Gossard, counts Jack Johnson among his friends, and has spent years rambling the globe as a touring troubadour. With the release of his 21st album, Dark Wings, just around the corner, we'll spotlight a track from the record and welcome Mason for a conversation. Plus, filmmaker, actress, and songwriter Lexi joins us from Portland, Oregon. And we'll get the latest on all that's happening in Medora, North Dakota, from Theodore Roosevelt Medora Foundation venues manager Todd Bruce. This is the Great American Folk Show. My name is Tom Brusso. It's great to have you with us today. We begin with Matt Jones and the Bobs. They blend pop and folk without any affectation to create Southern comfort. Tell me you don't love this new tune of theirs called The Weight of the World.
Well, the weight of the world are closing in. I'm heavy loaded with bids, good deeds and sins. While struggling, I'll sit and write down a song. I've learned to run like the howling wind that destroys its path for ages. My attempts, they brought consequence, but I have come to realization. It's all just the weight of the world, a heavy load, a pressing down, a trying to split me in two. But see, I've got friends that ain't scared to pick me up when I'm falling. They know what I'm going through. Change, it can fluctuate each and every day. An alteration of doors that lead to either or. But honey, don't fight yours. Step through and write you a song. Go achieve, accomplish, but don't you act in desperation. 'Cause to win, honey, in the end is just another situation. It's all just the weight of the world, a heavy load, a pressing down, a trying to split me in two. But see, I've got friends that ain't scared to pick me up when I'm falling. They know what I'm going through.
Thank you.
of the world are closing in. I'm heavy loaded with bids, good deeds and sins. While struggling, I'll sit and write down a song. It's just the weight of the world, a heavy load, a pressing down, a trying to split me in two. But see, I've got friends that ain't scared to pick me up when I'm falling. They know what I'm going through. Yeah, it's the weight of the world, a heavy load, a pressing down, a trying to split me in two. But see, I've got friends that ain't scared to pick me up when I'm falling.
Hi everyone, my name is Matt Jones. I'm the front man for Matt Jones and the Bobs, and thank you so much for having me. Matt Jones and the Bobs actually formed over a decade ago when we attended Radford University together as college mates. Basically, a group of friends got together with a passion for roots-driven songs and, you know, storytelling songs, especially in the folk and Americana space. And we started writing music together, released our debut record back in 2014, Brothers Hymn. I think we had a unique sound then and a much fuller and more sophisticated sound now. This new chapter kind of began with a new vision and purpose when I revisited a topic that's tough for me, but a good friend of mine, Ben Osborne, I grew up with a childhood friend. He kind of pushed us all together in college, brought us all together as bandmates, and we lost him too early. You know, a year after we left college, he passed in a car accident, and that was around the time that we went our separate ways. And it's just interesting to me that, you know, a decade later, I've written this song, Penitentiary Road, which is the unique track I shared with you guys, and I wrote it in his honor and memory, but funnily enough, just as he brought us together once, this song has brought us back together all these years later and pushed me back into writing like I've never written before and writing tons and tons of new material. And it's something that we're all super excited about.
Safe from winding penitentiary.
fall, and I couldn't change much. 'Cause Lord knows fate had chose Penitentiary Road. Familiar faces around, singing songs in a crowd, crying, laughing, talking, how you made us so proud. The foundation you bound within is calling, a reunion will meet. Predestined the seat you're saving for me, Benny, you're living free. With beauty I can discern now, but if I could turn back time, keeping you safe from winding Penitentiary Road. But you had to fall, and I couldn't change much. 'Cause Lord knows fate had chose. If I could turn back time, keeping you safe from winding Penitentiary Road. But you had to fall, and I couldn't change much, 'cause Lord knows fate had chose Penitentiary
Lexi is a Portland-based songwriter with a cool sound and a great vibe. But she is also an actress and a filmmaker. Check out Age Group Winner. It's a documentary she made about her dad, Jay Helgerson, who in 1980 became the first person to run a marathon a week for a year, completing each one in under 3 hours. Does that sound impressive? Well, to do a little math, a marathon is 26.2 miles, and the average finish time is 4 hours and 30 minutes. So, yeah, that is really impressive. And you will be equally impressed by Lexi's music. Her vocals feature a trailing lilt that reminds me of a deep-cut breath from Fleetwood Mac's catalog. As I said, she's got a cool sound and a great vibe. Here's Lexi.
Purple Queen. Hi, I'm Lexi. My very first album, Halcyon Days, is coming out June 26th. And it's also the title of the song I'm going to play for you today, Halcyon Days. I first became familiar with this term some time ago. I was an actor and working in Shakespeare, and that's when Halcyon Days first appeared in my life. But it means a return to peaceful times, peaceful and prosperous times. And 2 years ago, in the summer of 2024, is when I finished writing it. I had just gone through really intense, terrible, awful chemotherapy, and then really intense, awful breakup, dissolution of my marriage and partnership of 10 years, and I found I really needed peace more than anything, and there was Halcyon Days. Surviving, it really felt like surviving while going through chemotherapy was absolutely about surviving, and it was my family, my friends, my ex at the time, my care team, and then afterward, like rebuilding and putting my life together, it was really my family who I came to lean on a lot. I lived with my mom and stepdad for a year and a half, and it's amazing that I was able to do that, and we all functioned and lived quite well together, and it was there that I wrote the album in my childhood home. So yeah, it's really thanks to my family that I've been able to get back on my feet and out on my own and getting my music out in the world. And the city of Portland and the trees and our friends and community here and food. All the great food we have in Portland. One, two. I see you making moves online. I'm stuck. stuck in my room doing overtime. I spin wide oak beech and pine. Song for myself, gonna take my time, gonna make it mine. I burn, I set myself on fire. I burn, I'm a phoenix rising higher. Rising from my ashes, my sickness, my sadness, till I find my house in days. House in days. Feel that sunshine in my room. Ain't got no windows, but the warmth is true. Okay to be, don't have to do. It's about you, it's about you. I burn, I set myself on fire. I burn, I'm a phoenix rising higher. Rising from my ashes, my sickness, my sadness, till I find my house in days. House in days. House in days.
If you're just tuning in, it's the Great American Folk Show. Mason Jennings is an enduring and prolific songwriter whose music draws from folk, from rock, from pop, blues, country, and even metal. That's right, I said metal. This summer, he'll release his 21st album, Dark Wings. The first single, Say Goodbye to the Ground, has just dropped, and it is a catchy one. Mason Jennings is in Fargo this weekend for a pair of appearances, Sunday at 3 p.m. at the Jasper Hotel and again at 7 p.m. at Broadway Square.
One, two, three, four.
Oh, Jesus, I love you, and I love Buddha too. Rama, Krishna, Guru, Dev, Tao Te Ching, and Muhammad. Why do some people say that there is just one way to love you, God, and come to you? We are all a part of you. You are unnameable. You are unknowable. All we have is metaphor. That's what time and space are for. It's the universe you thought. You are and you are not. You are many, you are one. Ever ending, just begun, alright.
Welcome to the show. Great to have you here, Mason. I first remembered hearing your music when I was living in Los Angeles, where I lived for a number of years. And I suppose being from North Dakota myself, I paid special attention to artists with Great Plains roots. And you cut your teeth in the Twin Cities I'm wondering, what were some of those early days like for you when you were first starting out?
It was pretty amazing, actually. I mean, Minnesota is a great place to get started with music. There's so much different kind of music. I mean, I was influenced really heavily by bands like the Jayhawks and the Replacements. And then starting out, a lot of those bands were really supportive. Like Dave Perner from Soul Asylum sat in with me at one of my first shows, and we played songs together, which got me a lot of press and allowed me to get a weekly gig at the 400 Bar, which was a big, you know, rock club. So I got a weekly gig there and just started, you know, back then it was putting up flyers everywhere and just, you know, trying to get people to come out to the shows before the internet to hear my music. And it really just was a great community that really supported what I did.
Right. You talk about pre-internet, pre-cell phone. You're out there doing everything yourself, making your own flyers, really trying to self-promote your own thing. Is that something that you think that artists just have to do or they learn to do from other artists?
I think I had a really good mentor, this guy, Tom Sullivan, who ran the 400 Bar. We played there the first time and like 40 people came and I was so excited. And he, after the show, he goes, "Hey man, this is a job, you know, like 40 people isn't enough people. Like next week we need there to be 80 people." And I was like, "Oh, okay." And he was really harsh. He's like, "You better get out there every single day you're not on stage and be working your job to like get people to hear about the music. Like this isn't just like a pastime if you care about the music." So he really kind of kicked it into gear for me thinking of it more of like a job.
Has it been a while since you've been into North Dakota to perform?
I usually play there every year. I think I played there last summer, which was fun, and I try to get up there once a year, being so close to the Twin Cities where I'm based out of. So I love Fargo.
If I have my way, I'm never gonna leave Lemon Grove Avenue, where the summer breeze.
You'll be at the Jasper Hotel on the 14th at 3, and then Broadway Square same day at 7, so it's kind of a double header for you.
Yeah, the earlier show is actually a songwriting workshop, so it's going to be fun. I'll just talk for about an hour and a half about my process and take questions and talk to people that are interested in songwriting. Yeah, I love it. I think it's for me, it's forever fascinating. It's a mysterious process, so I really like talking about it.
Do you think that you learn a little something new each time that you try to teach songwriting?
Yeah, absolutely, because it's sort of like the questions people ask or how, you know, seeing it through their eyes definitely opens it up differently to me.
While the world was busy burning.
We're visiting with Mason Jennings. Mason, you regularly release albums, 2025, your 20th album, Magnifier, was recorded with Stone Gossard of Pearl Jam. And you have to admit, being in music gets you in touch with some pretty interesting people. Gossard is a friend of yours. You've worked with him before. What special things does he bring to the table?
Yeah, I think he's fantastic. I mean, I've loved Pearl Jam since I was a teenager, and we've worked together for over 10 years now. We're in a band called Painted Shield. We have 3 records out where I play guitar. I mean, I sing and he plays guitar. He's a guitarist. You know, he really elevates. He doesn't put up with, like, things that don't feel finished. You know, he's very much about, like, professional sounding recordings. And also, he's very literate. This is a guy that reads, like, 10 books a week. And he's really in touch with lyrics, which is interesting because he's a guitar player mostly. But he's a very smart guy that pays a lot of attention to lyrics. So he's been a really great partner for me.
Building castles in the air.
Right, I would imagine that because he's such a thoughtful guitar player that he would need to know a thing or two about lyrics as well. It reminds me of other partnerships like the Gershwins, for example, George and Ira. One knew the piano, one knew the lyric, but they both worked together in order to do it. And I think it also speaks to how we tend to want to just, you know, make our musical heroes monolithic. They only play the guitar, they only play the drums. In your case especially, too, you must do so much more. You yourself must be an avid reader.
Yeah, I'm constantly reading. I feel like, I mean, I'm a high school dropout, not from my own choice, but things were chaotic for me in high school and my family life, so I went to the library every day and just decided that I thought story was the most important thing. So I just read, you know, through the classics and just spent all my time reading. And that's really helped me as far as, you know, compositionally and how to tell a story through music. And I also play all the instruments. Like on my first record, I played, you know, all the drums, bass, guitar, and vocals. So I like to pay attention to all the different parts.
Did you have any formal training in any particular instrument?
No, not really. I had a younger brother who was a kind of a guitar prodigy. So he took lessons and then he would teach me at home. So I got that. But my whole family is really interested in composition. Like my dad and his sisters are very interested in writing and you know, went through all the college route for English literature. So they were very instrumental in just teaching me about composition in general. But the instrument stuff, I mostly just first being around my brother and feeling my way through it. And then later, as I got to hire different musicians, I just tried to hire the best players and then just ask them tons of questions. And just being in the proximity of these players really taught me a ton about drums and bass and piano and stuff like that.
As you were intimating before, at a certain point, you have to just, you know, make up your mind that you're going to do it. Whether it's learning the instrument, whether it's getting out to self-promote yourself, you have to have that diligence and that discipline to get out and do it.
Yeah, it takes a lot of time. You got to put a lot of time into it and whatever you're doing.
Your album, 20th album, last year, Magnifier, is quiet. It's acoustic. It's heartfelt and catchy. And meanwhile, the one before it is also extremely interesting. It's a similar vibe, 2024's Holy Dive. But all the songs, and I love this, are composed by some of the great metal bands in the biz, including Danzig and Motley Crue. And you do this just a fantastic rendition of Cinderella's Nobody's Fool. And so Holy Dive, I mean, talking about composition, your family being into composition, is your nod to just plain old, great old songwriting. I think as a culture, we might be a little less apt to give thanks to metal when it's some of the most beautiful stuff ever made. So, you know, Holy Dive emphasizes good songwriting. But taking a step back and taking a look at genre, you've been listed as indie pop, folk, blues and rock, and of course, singer-songwriter. And I think it's, you know, it's important to figure out what your thing is, especially when you're first starting out. And I imagine that you contemplated that quite a bit. But do you consider your music belonging to any one genre over another?
I would probably say it's closest to folk music, but more like the older folk kind of music. You know, like I think it's lyric-based, the chordal structures are pretty simple, but at the same time, there's definitely some rock in there for sure. So, you know, folk and rock are what I would say. Like when I first started my first record, I was... Before that, I was playing in heavier bands, and I just kind of decided to distill it. So I took a lot from the metal world and the rock world and just distilled it to fit my voice better and fit the lyrics better for me. So it's got the metal spirit, but it's mostly acoustic instrumentation and pretty stripped down. I'd say it's pretty minimalist music for the most part.
I call you on the phone, but never get a rise. So sit there all alone. It's time you realize I'm not your fool.
Nobody's fool, nobody's fool.
And that love for metal music, I mean, this is just kind of because you're a product of the 1980s, and I mean, that's the stuff that was being played on the radio and MTV too. Is that where that fascination and that love comes from?
Well, I think it was my brother being that guitar prodigy. He was learning guitar parts pretty young, and it was the 80s, and then we were learning and then I have an older brother that hadn't lived with us. He was a half brother, and he came to live with me when I was 12. He was probably 18, so he brought all this music in, Zeppelin and Guns N' Roses and Hendrix and all these people, and I just immediately started trying to learn guitar and drums from all this hard rock and heavy metal music, and I just loved it. I mean, I absolutely loved it. So I had 50 million tapes, you know, of cassette tapes of all the different guitar bands, really. And my first concert was Bon Jovi with Cinderella opening, and I love Cinderella. And the reason I wanted to do that record, Holy Dive, is because I was watching a country music documentary by Ken Burns, and all these, you know, players that I love, like or singers like Johnny Cash, would always talk about their roots. And I was like, man, I'm jealous of all their roots. And I thought, well, what are my roots if I was going to do a cover record? And I thought, well, my roots are like, you know, Motley Crue and Cinderella. So I just decided to do their music in my style, and that's what that came from.
We are on the phone with Mason Jennings, and he'll be in Fargo June 14th. It's a Sunday. You're playing a couple of different times, doing a songwriting workshop at the Jasper Hotel at 3 p.m., and then Broadway Square out front and center at 7 p.m.
And let good things happen. Let the future come.
Mason, really lovely to finally get you on the phone. I've been a fan of your music for a long time, all your records. You've released so many of them. And I was so excited when you dropped your new single. It's called Say Goodbye to the Ground on Loose Groove Records. And it's about doing something without fear. I think that's a hard lesson in life, something that we all need to do and learn how to do. And it's definitely not easy to do.
I believe loving is the answer.
But this must be a part of a new album, and surely our listeners will want to know all about it. So what do you have cooking?
Well, I made a new record. It's coming out on July 10th. It's called Dark Wings, and it's an interesting record because I just made Magnifier last year, but during that process, a friend of mine, his name is Scott McPherson, he's a drummer and producer. He's worked with, you know, Elliott Smith and Beck and Crowded House and different bands over the years. And he mostly works these days in making, he's a drummer, but he also makes drummer bags, like bags for sticks, like high-end, like leather bags, and out of the studio space he has in Minneapolis. And then he met a guy who had some recording gear that was from Nashville, and they decided, hey, let's put a bunch of recording gear in this cool, you know, bag factory. So they put a bunch of recording gear in there, and they said, hey, Mason, you want to come by and just record a song for fun at this cool space? So I stopped by and recorded the song, and I thought it sounded really good. So every month when I'd come off the road from touring, I'd kind of finish a new song or two and go in there once a month and record a song or two with them. And then Scott would do the production, and I'd just show up with my song. And then after about a year and a half of that, we had a whole record made, and I just thought, wow, this is so cool. It's very collaborative. It's definitely more of a rock record and more of a lot more instrumentation than Magnifier. So I feel like it's an exciting change, and that'll be coming out in July.
Well, I love the fact that you said you've been working on it for over a year and a half, almost like, you know, there's no time, date, no deadline or anything like that. And probably you had some of those songs going while at the same time you were recording Magnifier.
Yep.
Always have a poker in the fire.
Yeah, I'm always creating. I just think it's, you know, some months it'll be, you know, I'll be painting more than playing music, and then some months the songs just start coming in. So I just try to, you know, pay attention.
Be open, pay attention, receive, and have fun. Well, thank you so much, Mason. It was great to have you on the show. And gosh, have a wonderful time here this summer with touring. And we look forward to seeing you in Fargo, North Dakota.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. I appreciate your thoughtful questions.
If we want to fly, we've got to say goodbye.
Support for the Great American Folk Show comes from the Lorac family, the estate of Blair Flegel, and Minn Kota Power Cooperative, helping meet the electricity needs of rural member cooperatives in eastern North Dakota and northwestern Minnesota. Our power is our people. More information at minnkota.com. My summers are spent in Medora, North Dakota. If you're just tuning in from outside of the Peace Garden State, that's all the way west in the state, where I not only perform every day at 4 p.m. on the Wagon Stage right downtown, but also produce the Great American Folk Show. From there, I'm able to wrangle in some talented artists and residents and highlight happenings from around the region. With the tourist season now underway, I invited Theodore Roosevelt Medora Foundation venues manager Todd Bruce to stop by and share the skinny on the town's programs and attractions. Our visit in a moment. But one of the most exciting things happening in Medora this summer is the opening of the Theodore Roosevelt Presidential Library, a project that has taken many hands, countless hours, years of effort, and tremendous support to bring to fruition. This new facility is not just good for the state or the region, but for the entire country. It's the first presidential library of this magnitude ever built, and there may never be another one quite like it. It's situated atop the Badlands near the Burning Hills Amphitheater. The library offers spectacular views, remarkable architecture, educational displays, art, music, a cafe that is going to be to die for, and an experience that will no doubt draw visitors back again and again. The library opens up July 4th, coinciding with the 250th anniversary year of our nation's independence. We're here with Todd Bruce. He is the venues manager here in Medora, North Dakota for the Theodore Roosevelt Medora Foundation. Welcome to the show, Todd.
Tom, it's a pleasure to be here.
What is your background and how did you get to Medora, North Dakota?
Well, my background, I've always had a love for the theater since I was a kid. And I've made my entire life about theater and performing arts and been in Chicago, San Francisco, and for the last few years in Minneapolis, where I raised my family.
Was it your first time coming out to Medora for this position, being in the western part of the state?
Yeah, I did not know the Badlands were so beautiful until I got out here. I built cabins on the lake shores of Lake Superior. And those morning sunrises were always a theatrical component of life. When I got out to the Badlands, about 8 miles from Medora, and saw what was out here, it's breathtaking. I fell in love with that for sure. The one thing, though, that I really fall in love with in Medora is our theater here is great. We have Teddy Roosevelt's history here. We have all sorts of things in Medora. There's just so much to do. But what I really love about Medora is the way people hold Medora. I love interacting with that, creating memories with those people, and giving them the opportunity to have a great time out here.
You're a venues manager here in Medora for the foundation. You manage downtown entertainment, and you help up at the Hill. And for those of you who are listening, you don't know what that refers to. That's the Burning Hills Amphitheater. That's where the big Medora musical happens. So in addition to the amphitheater, that's the show hall downtown, the Old Town Hall Theater, the Andrus Stage, and the famous patio stage. That's a lot of venues. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of high-class entertainment coming through town. People come to Medora to see the musical. What can you tell us about this year's show?
We do have a lot of free entertainment downtown for certain on the Wagon Stage and a few other stages around town. Make sure you check out Medora.com and things to do and dig deep for that free stuff. It's down there somewhere. But the big deal this year, of course, is the 250th anniversary of the Declaration of Independence. And we have a lot of stuff planned for July. The musical is spectacular this year. We tore down the stage right and stage left, the depot, and the coal mine last fall when we were finished with the season. And since then, we've rebuilt them, added a story to each of those buildings, and brand new sound system and lighting control room. It's all state-of-the-art now, and the sound is going to be spectacular going forward. Come on out and hear it.
It's not just Western North Dakota who has an attachment to this place. People from Montana, our Canadian friends, Wyoming, South Dakota, and of course Minnesota. My own uncle was in the musical way back when in 1989 for the centennial. And everybody has that connection. It's an important connection. It connects us to this beautiful part of the state, but then in some way I think it kind of connects us to each other. Todd, you are the venues manager. There are several other venues downtown, aside from this glorious musical that we have that's been ongoing for 61 years. Can you tell us about what programs that people can see downtown, talking about the show hall and the Old Town Hall Theater?
Well, at the Old Town Hall Theater this year, we're trying something new. And in July and August, we've asked Bill Scott Sheets to come back. He was part of the Cash versus King crew that were here in the last couple of years. And he's going to be presenting a show called Rebels and Outlaws during July and August. That's going to be a phenomenal show. He's got a female vocalist with him and a full band behind him. It's going to be a little bit sort of, I think, Waylon and Willie and the Boys-ish, with maybe a little Patsy Cline or something in there. Also on the stage, the free stage downtown at the patio, the Wagon Stage, there's going to be a lot of returning guests. I know the Devon Warlick Band is coming back in July, on the July 4th week. The Mooncats will be here in August, just off the top of my head. Oh, Luke Bulla's coming back. He's been here a few years now. Fabulous violinist, plays in Lyle Lovett's big band. He's amazing, and he tells great stories. He has great original music. There's just a lot of really spectacular work, and it's free.
And how about the show hall? What's happening in the show hall?
The show hall has the Gospel Brunch. We're just opening that this week, and that is a family favorite. We've had that around for a few years now, and it's a new show again this year. We've been doing that new shows consistently for the last few, and I heard some rehearsals. There's some heavy singing from some of the males this year, as well as the awesome female vocalists that we've had in the last couple of years.
Lots to do in downtown Medora, aside from the entertainment, the Medora musical, and what's happening downtown. There's hiking, there's biking, there's horse riding, and then there's just plain old flat vegging out and having some fun. Todd, you're busy at work, but surely you've got some time off. What do you like to do when you don't have to work?
Part of being out here is working a lot. We have to really drive ourselves to take some actual time off. Something that's super easy for me to do is just to go hang out by the lazy river in a swimsuit and try not to be anybody, but just lazy. The other thing I like to do, I do like to go to the park. I went to the Petrified Forest just recently with my brother, and that was a spectacular walk. We saw some bison giving birth on the path and had to avoid them by walking through the woods. It was a lot of fun. Those are the things that I do. Of course, going to the big city of Dickinson is on my list when I need things, or if there's a concert there in town. I really search out those musical enticements. That's my goal in life, is finding those music and enjoying music and story and theater. So it's a little bit difficult for me to find out here outside of Medora and Dickinson, so I do my best to get it done there.
That's our visit with Todd Bruce. He is the venues manager here in Medora, North Dakota, for the Theodore Roosevelt Medora Foundation. Todd, it's been a delight to have you on the radio show. And for those of you who are listening, if you're going to come out here for the first time, ask around for Todd. He might just give you a little tour of this or that. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Of course, Tom. It's always a pleasure to see you.
It's the Great American Folk Show. Thanks for listening today, wherever you may be listening from. Peyton Lilly is one of North Dakota's most promising young talents. Hailing from Bismarck, she's already making a name for herself at just 19 years old, earning honors from the Country Gospel Music Association and being named International Teen Performer in Branson, Missouri. If you're not familiar with her work, it is a pleasure to introduce her to you. Our show closes today with Peyton performing two of her original songs.
Hi, I'm Peyton Lilly. Thank you so much for having me today. This first song is a song that I wrote called Apple. I wrote this song my senior year of high school. I was having a lot of conversations with people about what they were going to do with their lives and what I wanted to do with my lives. And I was having a conversation with one of my friends that comes from a really rough background. And she was talking about how she feels like it's almost inevitable for her to repeat the things that her parents have done, and that she felt like she was just going to be cut out to become just like her family members. And I thought that was a really sad way to look at life. And so I wanted to write a song for her and for those people, saying that you're not going to end up where your parents were, and you're not where you come from, and that's not where you're going to end up. So, yeah. Hope you guys like it.
You can't help how far the apple falls, but that wasn't a home, it was just four walls. Had to learn from an early age that this world can be a cold, cold place. Bruises on my skin and ribbons in my hair. Don't you cry, honey, nobody's there. They say you're your father's daughter, but that man was nothing like a father. So I And I'm not asking for someone to save me. I'm scared to death I'll be just like the rest. Just living my whole life to get a check. So I ran, ran, ran from where I come from, from the blood inside my veins and my last name. And I rebel, honey, I would kill to be. The apple that fell far from that tree, from that tree. But I am not my blood or the things that they've done. And where I go is not where I'm from. So I run, run, run from where I come from, from the blood inside these veins and my last name. And I rebuild.
So I really love live music, and I really love, like, the touring aspect of it. I love getting to interact with people. I'm a big, like, people pleaser and people person, and so I love being able to make people happy. And, like, I love the fact that music connects people. It makes people smile, it makes them laugh, it makes them dance. And I really, really love that. And then with writing music, I love being able to make people feel, like, seen and heard. Music has been such a thing that's, like, really helped me feel, like, seen and be able to, like, process my emotions and things. And I think it would be so, so special to be able to, like, do that for other people and to make somebody else feel like they're not the only one who's experienced something like that and just make people feel seen and feel loved. So I would love to be able to do this as my full-time job someday if that's what God has in the cards for me. But ultimately, I just feel blessed that I get to do this and I get to sing places and I get to call it a job and people actually want to hear me. And so, yeah. My mom was, like, a big 90s country lover. So she would always, I grew up homeschooled too, so I was at home a lot. And my mom would be, like, doing the dishes in the kitchen, blasting, like, Faith Hill, Tim McGraw, the Dixie Chicks, Trisha Yearwood. And so I have, like, a really deep love for country music. And a lot of the, like, big country stars in the 90s really inspire me. But then also, like, I really love Tiger Lily Gold. They're great. I've gotten to listen to them live a few times. And they're such nice people too. I got to meet them last summer. And they're just, like, the kindest girls ever. But yeah, I don't know. I also grew up listening to, like, Ben Suki. I'll give him a shout out. I don't know if you know who he is, but him and his dad, we would go to his live music events because my dad knows him. They, like, snowboarded together in college, and so he's great. I really love, like, that, like, folky kind of music, so. This next song is another song that I wrote. This one's called Dreamer. I think it's really interesting how your dreams can kind of affect the way you see people sometimes. Me and my brother were having a conversation about that one day, and he was like, isn't it interesting how sometimes you can have dreams, and then you wake up, and you have memories in the dreams, and you have to sit there and be like, was that a dream, or was that a real memory? So I thought it was kind of a funny concept, and it could make a nice, sad song, the idea of being so stuck on somebody that they're showing up in your dreams, and you're, like, stuck on those memories that maybe they happened, maybe they didn't. So, yeah, without further ado, though, this one's called Dreamer.
Shirted a number on me, the kind of thing that you can't unsee. shirted a number on me. Well, I woke up in a cold, cold sweat with the words "I love you" on my breath. And it scared me half to death with the words "I love you" on my time won't move on like it's supposed to. And time won't move on like it's supposed to. Well, I remember the first night we met. Well, I've been trying ever since. All the sweet little things you said. Oh, I've been trying ever since to forget. And time won't move on like it's supposed to.
Just heard a live session from Peyton Lilly. To see her live or to find out where to buy her music, visit peytonlilly.com. That's PeytonLilly. And that is our show today. Thank you so much for listening. Matt Jones was on the program. Lexi, Mason Jennings, and Todd Bruce. My name is Tom Rousseau. May you always find that lucky old son. Until we meet again.